time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. At this time every Sunday, we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society for Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Shanalee.
So, Gordon, can you remind us of the clue from last week?
Well, I said that during the early days of the pandemic, my wife and I resolved to get a bit more exercise while learning about Winnipeg's history. So each day we would walk in a different neighborhood and watch for interesting details along the way. You know, I could probably take several episodes to discuss all of our finds, but I'm going to start this week with an architectural feature from the 1960s that was hidden in some bushes in Fort Garry.
Ooh, so where do we start?
Well, for the past 25 years, I've been a professor at the Fort Garry campus of the University of Manitoba. And thousands of times during that period, literally thousands of times, I've driven onto the campus in my car and passed today's site, blissfully unaware of its existence. I think what this illustrates is that one of the virtues of walking is that by walking slowly through a place, even if it's a place that you're intimately familiar with, you're going to see details that you would have never seen otherwise. And in this case, I saw a sign for a place called Leslie Park.
I have never heard of Leslie Park.
You too, eh? Well, Winnipeg has over 100 parks, and they range in size from, well, the big ones, of course, are Assiniboine and Kildonan, down to ones that are so small I could probably stretch out my arms and touch both sides. But I'd never heard of Leslie Park. Yet there at the corner of University Crescent and Thatcher Drive, mostly hidden by bushes on the edge of a driveway for a private home, was a concrete and stone sign with large black letters labeled Leslie Park. Well, so my first step in trying to learn more about it were to search the historical newspapers. They're usually a very good source for this kind of thing. And it took no time at all to find references to Leslie Park in newspapers starting in early 1964. It turns out that it was the name of a residential subdivision, not a public park. And by the look of it, the houses in the subdivision were quite innovative for the time.
Oh, how so?
The street layout, the landscaping of yards, was all done by an architectural firm. And that firm also designed most, if not all, of the houses on the street. As a result, unlike some subdivisions today where houses could sometimes be described as sort of cookie cutter buildings, all strikingly similar, each house in Leslie Park was conspicuously different. And there were quite interesting features as well. They had things like central air conditioning, large glassed-in areas, a fireplace in most of the homes, a main bedroom with an attached bathroom. That was pretty innovative for the time. High-end materials like cedar siding and exotic woods were used in the interior, and skylights. So really quite interesting and unique buildings.
Oh, indeed. So where did the name Leslie come from?
The development of this division was spearheaded by a firm called the B. Leslie Real Estate and Development Company. So some further digging in those historical newspapers found an advertisement for the company, and it was from about a year before the Leslie Park got started. It provided a wealth of biographical information about the principals of the firm, more than you would normally expect, I think, to see in a newspaper ad today. So from that, I found that the company namesake, B. Leslie, was a guy named Bob Leslie, the youngest son of some Syrian immigrants who had settled on a farm at Fort White. After studying engineering at the University of Manitoba, Mr. Leslie established the firm that built Leslie Park in 1961.
Now, Gordon, you mentioned that the houses of Leslie Park were designed by architects. Do we know who they were?
Yes, because that advertisement also trumpeted the fact that they had this architectural firm on retainer. The firm that worked with Mr. Leslie was called Pratt Lindgren and Associates. It was actually one of Winnipeg's most prestigious architectural firms at that time, founded in 1954 by two architects, Kenneth Pratt and Stuart Lindgren.
So that firm specialized in designing homes?
No, they also actually designed a wide range of other buildings too. So for example, they designed public buildings, and a noteworthy example is the former municipal office for the city of St. Vitale that's located on St. Mary's Road. Most recently, for example, it's been used as a vaccination center. They designed hospitals at Steinbach and Winkler. They designed a senior citizen's home at Roblin. They designed the Manitoba Youth Center on Route 90, you know, the jail facility for children there. And they designed the Assiniboine Park Conservatory, the one that was demolished in 2018. But I think if Pratt Lindgren had any specialty at all, it might have been for schools, because they designed a wealth of schools all over Manitoba, but especially in St. James here in Winnipeg. A small sampler of their work then, Dakota Collegiate was designed by their firm. Sansom School, Verdon Junior High School, Shaftesbury High School, and one that's particularly near and dear to my heart, Alexander Ross School, because my dad was the first principal of that school. It's now the Manitoba School for the Deaf.
Oh, wow.
But not all of their buildings serve the original purpose. In 1966, for example, they designed a service center for Imperial Oil that was located on River Avenue.
On River. What is that now?
Well, it's located in Osborne Village, and it's called the Gas Station Theater.
I could have guessed. That makes sense. So coming back to Leslie Park, did the houses actually get built?
A lot of them did, yes. An advertisement in one of the historical newspapers from mid-1964 showed what looked like drawings of houses on the north and south sides of Thatcher Drive. So I thought, well, I'm going to see if any of them did get built. So a few days ago, I walked along Thatcher Drive and I compared the drawings on the newspaper to the houses that I saw. And I could match at least 9 houses. But there were cases where the architectural style of a house today did not seem consistent with the others. So I suspect either that the Pratt Lindgren designed house was not built on all of the lots in Leslie Park, or if they were, they have been renovated dramatically over the past, you know, nearly 60 years.
And what happened to the Pratt Lindgren architectural firm?
It no longer exists, at least not by that name. The last mention of it that I could find in historical newspapers was in 1979, just before the death of the principal architect. And in fact, all of its 4 principal architects are now deceased.
And how about Mr. Leslie?
Well, he remained active in real estate development here in Winnipeg, at least into the 1990s, when he relocated to Fargo, North Dakota. And there, he and his family members still seem to be quite active in residential and commercial development. I found quite a bit online about the Leslie family of Fargo. I wonder, though, if Mr. Leslie knows that the sign for one of his earliest projects is still visible, at least for those of us who take the time to walk slowly and peek into bushes. Indeed, I wonder if the people living on Thatcher Drive today know of the history of their homes as revealed by that largely inconspicuous sign.
Wow, and this all started with a sign. Thank you for this history lesson, Gordon. And what's up for next week?
Well, in future episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, I will talk about some of my other finds that we made during pandemic walks in Winnipeg neighborhoods. But for next week, we will be heading to Brandon to visit a vacant building that, when it was constructed in 1941, was at the forefront of radio broadcasting.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.